You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Matt Clement joins us now, our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst. Okay, so if it's not Ohtani tonight and it's him tomorrow or at some point later on, Matt, just let's go there to start. Your thoughts on just somebody in today's baseball being able to do both as well as this guy.
It's just amazing. I mean, it kind of reminds you last night, Jason Chandler, he hits that home run like, you know, 120 miles an hour. And it's like there's this push for Schwarber to be the MVP, which probably in a lot of other years, he's easy the MVP. But when you think about what he's able to do and pitch and hit at the same time at that level, when you're working on both, it's like we've never seen before, honestly. And the longer he keeps doing it, the more the kind of the legend grows, because it's almost unheard of. I know how much time I had to put into just pitching and pitching at a very major league average level. To pitch at the top, to be able to pitch the top of the game and hit the top of the game every year is just incredible.
Matt, I don't know how much of a student of the history of baseball you are, or how much you immerse yourself, but I know and we all know that the sport loves its history and venerates its history. If he does this, pitches at this level, hits at this level, let's just argue for five more years, how could anybody not look at him and just say, that is the greatest baseball player who has ever lived? I know he wouldn't have the numbers Ruth would have in the end, but how could you not look at that and just look at the era, more the wider net for talent being cast and everything else, and just say, yep, that's the greatest baseball player ever right there?
I think you're right. It's like a four or five more years if he does it at the level he's done it, especially if the pitching picks back up again, which it probably will coming off the surgery next year. The pitching isn't bad, but they're kind of easing him along, and it'll be interesting to see how the postseason goes with that. But he is on track to be, and who would have thought that? I mean, like it's unthinkable to me, because I feel like I'm a history. I do enjoy the history of the game. I got to play kind of in a time frame where there's a lot of great players and the ones before me and everything else. But it's like he's just doing what nobody else did. I mean, I guess Babe Ruth did it, but not to this extent. As far as the pitching side of things, he's just completely dominant. And when he's healthy and right, and the hitting side of things is just crazy. It's it'll be interesting to see. Will people get bored giving him the MVP, kind of like Jokic this year in basketball, and they used to do with Michael Jordan and even will they get bored giving him the MVP? Because that's going
to that's a narrative based award to a large degree in like certain years. Like they want to give it to Jimmy Rollins on the Phillies won it and he was great, but I remember thinking that was like partly the narrative too. If it's supposed to be who's basically the best player, as long as the player is not on a hideous baseball team, he should win it every year that he keeps doing this. It shouldn't even be debated. He should just, if he puts up offensive numbers like this and is at worst a league average pitcher, starting pitcher, he should win it every single year.
I agree, and I doubt he'll be a league average starting pitcher when he's healthy, when he's completely back, which makes it even more incredible. It's like you can't even argue when people try to argue it with me. And I mean, what a year Schwarber's having! My gosh, it's incredible what he did last week. But there's no argument if he's contributing on the pitching side, like you said, at an average level, but he has always contributed on well above average level there, and he's doing what he does at the plate. I mean, the stolen bases, the whole package is pretty crazy.
Matt, another interesting stat that popped up last night after the Pirates beat the Dodgers was this one. Since July 1st, the Pirates are 26-27 and the Dodgers are 25-28. The Pirates have played pretty good baseball for the last few weeks, especially. How much stock do you put in the way this team has played, when really, from a win-loss standpoint, where you are on the standings, they've been very low-stakes games because they've been in last place the entire year?
I think that, you know, it's kind of how you want to view the Pirates. If you're going to go from a pessimistic view, you can be like, most of these games are against lower teams in the division. Doesn't mean as much. If you want to look at optimism, it's like, you know, hey, this is what you want to build when you have a young team going forward and for next year, and you want to finish that way. And to me, like, credit goes to Donnie Kelly here, because I've been on teams where you're so far out of it, and it gets the dog days of August and that last month of September, and you're ready to get home, and you have no chance, and the games don't mean anything. But to keep the team playing, he deserves a lot of credit. And I think, like, Kutch and Tommy Pham and some of these veteran guys do too, because their attitude could wear off real quick. But I think the other side of that is you have a lot of young guys that want to be big league players, and they're getting their first taste or second taste or in their third year or whatever the case may be. And they're not just auditioning for, you know, the Pirates next year. Maybe it's for other teams, or maybe it's in a trade or whatever the case may be. So, you know, it doesn't matter how many people understand you're playing Major League Baseball and you're in the big leagues, so you're going to come to play, but it doesn't go that way across the board. So give the Pirates some credit here.
Matt, I'll ask you about this guy, because I think I pulled kind of a pony and reverse jinxed him last night. Henry Davis grounded into a double play with a man on second. That extended his streak to 0-for-42 with runners in scoring position. I tweeted that out. He then later got a hit and broke that slump. Just your thoughts on Davis and the lack of development at the plate, but more to the point here, how much were you cognizant of whether guys were scuffling in those situations? When you'd go over your game prep sheet, did you know, like, hey, so-and-so has this kind of a slump going on in a specific situation? How did you prepare for guys like that and attack them if you knew that they were maybe going through it mentally because of a slump?
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Well, I mean, how you started it with the tweet, and then it happened. Like, I was always very cognizant of who I was facing and what they always were. But you know, if the time came up and I needed to, you know, make him get the hit, I was going to do that. The person that was struggling, like, I wasn't going to let the person in front of him beat me, especially if he was hitting better, or the person behind him, if he was doing well, I wasn't gonna, you know, pitch me the same way. I was going to make him, you know, show he could get out of that slump in that situation. So, you know, but I was always the guy that, like, and to a little different degree, like, I'd play in Wrigley and the shadows would be out and our batters would come in after their first at bat and be like, they're blind and can't see the ball or anything else. And then I roll out there and give up three home runs. And so I never take those slumps and everything too far, because I'll be the guy that breaks the slump for the person.
Matt, this situation, I don't know if how many of our listeners know it, but last night in baseball, the Astros, you had Framber Valdez, who's one of the best pitchers in the American League. They were playing the Yankees, and it looked like he gave up a home run on a pitch where he had a disagreement with his catcher. And then right after that, it looked like he intentionally crossed his catcher up. So his catcher basically had to take a fastball right to the chest. I'm interested in stuff like this, like the game within the game, the interpersonal dynamics of teams and clubhouses and rosters and things like that. Like, what did you make of that? Like, is this something that actually happens sometimes in baseball? Like, your take as a pitcher on that situation last night.
I don't think I've ever seen a pitcher, now, again,
allegedly,
he says he didn't do it on purpose, but I've never seen a pitcher on purpose try to cross up the catcher to get back at him. So I dug in and I read his, you know, his quotes a little bit, which didn't like terribly make him feel very innocent. and the other part of it too is when you watch, like, his reaction after it was almost like, I did that on purpose.
The catcher certainly thought he did.
Yes.
Like, Salazar thought he did it on purpose for sure.
Yes. And you know, that's where, you know, professionalism comes in, because, like, you don't go out. I mean, I'll tell you this. He wouldn't have done that to Martin Maldonado when he was there, or Diaz, or Caratini, but he's going to do it to the kind of the journeyman that's been up and down. But at the end of the day, you know, there's frustration. The pitch before, what I saw the pitch before was he called a pitch and Cesar waved him to step off.
Yep.
And he didn't step off and threw the pitch because he set up real late and he threw a meatball right down the middle. Mm-hmm. It got hammered for a home run. And you know, here's the thing too. Like I always, when these situations happen, I think, okay, how could this have been right? You know, how could Valdez be right in a situation? I'm having a hard time figuring out any way he could have been right. But, you know, you get frustrated. Things happen. You know, your mind starts going different directions. And he could have been thinking about that pitch before and threw that one. It's very possible.
How does that get handled in the clubhouse, man?
Yeah, good question.
Easy. I think that, as you could tell, when everybody came out, they said the right things when they came out. They said there was a manager's meeting. That's Joe Espada's got to get, he takes care of that before it even gets to the media, before anything happens. It probably got handled by the two other catchers, you know, with Valdez in the first place, not necessarily with the catcher, but with Valdez, because you have two guys that have been there for a while. And you know, you have veterans on that team, Altuve, different people like that. I'm sure that situation was taken care of before there was a reporter that even thought about going in the locker room after the game. And you know what? Everybody handled it professionally because that could have been that's one of those situations where that could turn into a complete chaos and a big black eye on your organization and turn it into like a bad story in the middle of the playoffs. And they swept it under the rug probably the best they could and they'll move on.
Matt Clement, our MLB analyst here at 93.7 The Fan. So Ohtani will hit tonight. It looks like he will pitch tomorrow night against Paul Skeens at 6:40 at PNC Park. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.